lot of chapters left, as you will see.
今天还有很多章节剩下来没有讲。
So we're going to have to make some decisions today.
所以还是要做一下决定。
So I will not be covering everything in order, and because of that, we're going to begin right now in chapter 24.
所以可能在前后顺序上也要调节一下内容上，可能到时候看有的来实在来不及的话，就省略一下。所以先从二十四章开始。
And if time allows, we may be able to work backward. You'll notice the section on oaths is written out pretty thoroughly, so you can read through that.
假如有时间的话呢，我们再回来。但是二十二章，你们大家都能看到手上的讲义，已经很详细的都写出来了。所以万一没有时间的话，各位也可以直接读一下。But
let's begin at this time on marriage and divorce, and we'll open with the word of prayer.
好，那我们祷告开始。
Heavenly Father, we ask that you would magnify yourself this morning.
在恩典的父，我们谢谢你，求你荣耀你自己的名。I
thank you, Lord, for the hard work of all of these students.
我感谢你，感谢你让这每一位学生，如此用功。And
I pray you would give them the strength on this last day.
最后一天，你赐给他们力量，加添他们能力。That
this day would be fruitful for their knowledge and for your kingdom.
让他们的知识，让你的国度的那个长进的那个坚固。And
that you would help us to accomplish all that you have set before us.
求你这次帮助我们完成你所计划好的。We
ask it in Christ's name.
我们奉耶稣基督的名祷告。
Amen.
All right. Let us take up chapter 24, and you will notice first and foremost that the confession takes the opportunity in this chapter to define marriage.
24章告白来为婚姻的下定义。
And while the confession could not potentially envision all of the strange things that would be happening in our current world.
当然，在信仰告白的年代，这些作者们是没有办法预见到今天世界上所发生的，在婚姻这个事情上所发生的事情。They
were able, through their definition, to avoid some of the even current and potential problems we find on this issue.
但是他们在这个告白里面所对婚姻论到的婚姻，就今天也是同样的有效有帮助。And
so you'll notice marriage is defined first and foremost as a union between one man and one woman.
所以婚姻第一个概念就是，第一个定义就是一男一女。And
while polygamy is the main situation that the confession is saying is not acceptable, this also shows that homosexual marriage is also outside of God's plan.
这个告白里面明显注重反对的是多配偶婚姻或者一夫多妻、一妻多夫的事情，但是同样的同性恋也是违反圣经的。
You'll notice also, though, the confession has a clause in it that says proper marriage is between one man and one woman at one time.
在信仰告白里也这样说，在同一段时间里，婚姻是一男一女，有一个还有一个同一段时间里。It
is trying to leave room for the lawful remarriage of those who have had spouses die or those who have had lawful divorces.
也就是说，告白里面特意的为再婚留了空间，像再婚的情况，或者是配偶一方死亡，或者是配偶的另外一方
Marriage is further defined in the confession by stating the goals of marriage.
并且告白也进一步定义了婚姻的目的。
You'll notice the goals being that of the mutual help of one another.
首先是夫妻双方相互帮助。
I think one of the things that should stand out to us in the creation story.
在创世的这个故事上，我们一眼就能够看出来的。
Is that after God has pronounced everything good, He makes plain that it is not good for man to be alone.
神造了万物都说是好的，但是就是说亚当独身不好。
And this, of course, is stated over Adam, who is upright and does have fellowship and communion with God.
但当时亚当还没有堕落，亚当是正的，并且亚当和神之间 有直接的交往。
And yet, God sees that this situation is still not ideal for man.
然而神看亚当这样的处境还是不完全，不完美。
If you can pardon the expression, God is stating in this declaration that in one sense, for humanity, God is not enough.
也就是说，从另外一个角度说，在神的眼里，人单单以为神还不足够。
Which means his tenderness shows, comes out in that he knows we are in need of companionship in our humanity.
这什么意思？神实在很怜悯我们。眷顾我们，知道除了神之外，人还要有伴侣。
And so in His kindness, He creates woman.
所以神出于他的慈爱，他造了女人。
This being not good to be alone is not good because Adam cannot fulfill the goals he's been placed on earth to accomplish.
对亚当来说，一个人不好，另外一个原因就是他。靠他自己，他还完成不了神交给他的任务。
He also needs woman and woman man for just the companionship that we have in human relationships.
所以他需要帮助，他也需要伴侣。
For the issuing forth of legitimate seed or having children.
婚姻中夫妻的关系和儿女生儿育女。
And also as Christians to have children within the covenant or holy seed and for our own personal sanctification.
并且对基督徒来说生养儿女繁衍圣洁后代。
But notice that because marriage takes place in the creation prior to the covenant of grace, we see very plainly that marriage is lawful for all men, not just a Christian society.
同时我们也已经看到婚姻的成立在堕落之前，所以婚姻对于所有的人都是合法的。
And yet, for Christians, there are stipulations that they are to only marry in the Lord.
但是对基督徒来说，还有一个要求，就是应该在和主里的结婚。
Paul makes this plain in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that this is something that God requires of us.
哥林多前书第七章，保罗说这是神对我们的要求。
The confession goes further and makes plain that it is good to marry those of like faith and practice.
并且信仰告白还进一步说和志同道合的信徒结婚更美好。
And one can see, of course, the practical implications of this and how we catechize our children and train them up in the Lord.
这个更好的好处我们 很容易理解，是吧？不但有儿女，我们可以用同样的教育他们，培养他们。
You'll also see then that the confession takes up the issue of marriage and divorce.
在告白也论到了结婚和离婚。
It is taking a position contrary to the Roman Church, which says that marriage is eternal and inviolable.
那到结婚离婚的事情上面，他们的观点和罗马天主教正好相反。罗马天主教把人的婚姻看作是永恒的。
The confession, as you will see, lists two legitimate and legal grounds for divorce.
后来为离婚立了两个合法的理由。
And it does so with great caution.
他们这么做非常小心的。
Because the confession knows our nature, that we would, that we often take things that God permits and go too far with that.
因为告白也知道，因为他完全知道我们人性。我们一般来说，我们都容易在神允许的事上走得很远，走得更远。
It warns against our habit of finding a multitude of reasons why divorce should be legitimate.
也就是我们人常常容易找出各种各样的原因借口来，把离婚的条件放得很宽很宽。
But scripturally speaking.It makes plain that the first legitimate case is that of adultery.
圣经上明显的教导，允许离婚的第一个条件就是淫乱，是因为淫乱。
The first time the Lord mentions this, in Matthew chapter 5, and what we know to be the Sermon on the Mount.
第一次在登山宝训里。
Christ has shined a light on the law and shown us how exacting the law is.
主耶稣引用了律像当时的门徒读了律法，而且解释了律法的意义。
If murder is a sin,
假如说谋杀是罪。
Jesus wants to know that even hating your brother is worthy of death.
主耶稣让我们知道，哪怕你是恨恶你的弟兄，也同样是谋杀。
Not just adultery, but lust is sinful.
所以不仅是淫乱，心里面的淫念也同样是有罪的。
And so it would seem if Christ is going to be as strict as the Roman Catholic Church says he is, it would seem this would be a natural place for him to say no divorce at any time.
所以从罗马天主教的观点上，主要是不他们就是这样的嘛，他那么的严格，说根本不可能，根本不允许可以离婚。
But we see instead that he lists that there is one exception.
但主要是的确给出了一个例外。
And that is in the case of adultery only.
也就是发生了淫乱之后。
You will find that when Christ tells his disciples this later in Matthew, they are amazed at how strict this is.
马太福音后面我们看到门徒们听了以后都惊讶不已，都非常诧异说，这个条件好像实在太苛刻了。
Because of the habit that had arisen.By making use of the certificate of divorce in that day.
也就是说那个离婚休书的那个事情。
We think potentially that divorce and its ease of being pursued is only a modern problem, but it is not.
我们以为今天社会上发生这么严重的离婚现象不过是现代的事，其实不是，可以追随到那时候。
That Since the beginning, man has been trying to tear apart what God has joined together.
从最早最初开始，人就一直想要把神所设立的东西给破坏掉。
You'll notice the adultery clause is further undergirded by the example of God Himself in the Old Testament.
所以在关于离婚的事上，所 所引的证据，就是旧约里面神自己的话。
If you've read the book of Hosea, you have seen there the enactment of the picture between God and His people.
何西亚书里面我们就看到神和他子民的关系，婚姻关系。
Where God has Hosea marry a woman of ill repute.
神要何西亚先知去和一个不洁净的女人结婚。
And God makes plain that this is what his life with Israel has been like.
他就把这样的婚姻比作他和以色列人之间的关系。
That when God provides for Israel, she thanks the idols just like a wife thanking the man she's having adultery with for providing her a home.
神供养以色列却去感谢一些偶像。那么就像假如婚姻中有这样的话，就是如果丈夫供养妻子，妻子却是去转向另外一个。
And you can imagine the indignity, humanly speaking, but how much worse that God's people would treat it like this.
我们可以从人的概念上出发，假如你是丈夫的话，你是丈夫的话，发生这样的事情，你会气愤到什么程度？那么更不用说神和以色列人关系，从神的立场上说。
And it gets to a point where we read in Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 8, if someone would read that for us.
你们哪一位能读下耶利米书三章？
第八节。这一道的以色列行云，我为这缘故给他修书修拉，我看见他奸诈的妹妹犹大还不惧怕，也去行云。
It got to a point where the covenant was violated so greatly that God sent his wife away with a divorce decree.
以色列行奸到这样一种程度，神不得不给以色列下了羞辱。
And you'll notice the sin that he cites is her adulterous behavior.
而且神谴责以色列的就是因为他的不贞，他的淫行。
And so too, when Christ gives us teaching on this matter, he says that this is the one exception in the case of adultery.
所以主耶稣基督在那个关于婚姻教训上可以离婚的理由，就是在就利于这个的基础。
The word used in Matthew 19 is the word porneia.
在马太福音十九章里面所用那个字，原文的那个字。
It is a bit broader than mere sexual union in adultery.
这个字本身的含义比单单男女之间的淫乱的范围更大。
But we need to beware to not read it in such a broad way that any action of lust is now regarded as a proper grounds for divorce.
但是我们学习的时候，特别传道人，如果你学原文的时候，千万不要把这个比较宽的意思，把那个引申开来去定义那个淫乱。
But rather, the reason the broader word is used is to speak of acts that may not culminate in one flesh union, but are still physical in nature and worthy, or potentially worthy of, to be called adultery.
也就是说，不能以淫念就认为可以是离婚的理由，因为他刚才说的就是怕很多人可以找这样的借口离婚。因为这个原文这个字的范围比男女之间肉体上的淫乱还可以更延伸出去一点，不是那么完全限制在那个上概念上。
You will notice the Bible says that this is an exception, but it is not a mandate.
另外一点我们要注意的是，圣经教导我们，主耶稣教导我们说，这是一个例外，但不是一个规定。
That the Bible does not say you must divorce in this case.
没有说你的配偶 发生了云乱，你必须和他离婚。
And in fact, it is oftentimes helpful pastorally to urge forgiveness in these situations.
对我们传道人来说，要帮助发生事情的双方，能够鼓励他们悔改，重新和好。
If the guilty party is genuinely repentant and desiring to be restored,
如果犯罪的一方真正的悔改，和好，你离婚更好。
But if the innocent party is unable and unwilling to move forward with that relationship,
但如果受害的一方不愿意再继续下去。
Then we cannot bind them or force them to stay.
我们传道人就不能够逼他们重新合在一起。
You will notice the phrase in the confession is that they can treat the other party as if they were dead.
因为告白上所用的词说，可以把另外一方看作已经死了。
This is in reference to the very action of divorce, not the actions that they're to take toward this person the rest of their lives.
当然，就是因为说这个死的是婚姻关系上，但是不是对方的人生。
It is using an Old Testament illustration where the adulterer would be stoned to death, and therefore the innocent party would be free to marry.
这当然也是引用的，来形容用旧约。九月如果行淫乱的话，要用石头打死的，所以这个死呢，在这里用的那个意思。
And they would be free to marry because their spouse is gone.
所以对方既然死了，那么他们就可以允许重新结婚。
And so with regard to this action of divorce, the church is saying the innocent party is free to pursue a remarriage as if the other party had died.
所以这教会的态度就是这样。在发生淫乱不能够和好之后，无辜的一方就可以看作另外一方已经死了，他就可以自愿去重新结婚。
You will notice the second case here.
第二个
is the cause or the case of desertion.
允许离婚的第二个条件呢，就是。背弃
遗弃 Notice the confession is saying that there's one reason beyond adultery, and that is willful desertion.
就是夫妻双方的一方故意的离弃另外一方，这个离弃不是通过法律手续，而是就是完全使他为不存在。
Notice the word willful because it is not taking, it is not giving permission for those cases of desertion that were against the will of the other party.
因为他这样的他这个前提也是这样，不经过对方的同意，就是夫妻中间的一方对另外一方完全撇弃。
So for instance, in a time of persecution of the church, if one spouse is arrested by the government, the other party doesn't get to say, well, they've deserted me, I will go find a new husband or wife.
他说假如逼迫来到夫妻双方的一方被政府逮捕入狱，那么另外一方就不能说我丈夫或者我太太已经离弃我了。
Notice the confession makes plain that we're talking about a desertion that for some reason the church or the state cannot remedy. The party will not come back.
这儿所说的背约或者离弃是无论是教会还是政府都无法劝解那个主动离弃对方那一方回头。
So let us say a husband is frustrated and angry, and he decides to leave for a day, the wife is not able at that point to say, ah, he's gone, it's been 24 hours, he's deserted me, I'm moving on.
但是也不能走得极端，如果丈夫夫妻两个吵架，丈夫一甩袖走了，24小时没有回来，妻子不能说看他离婚了。But
rather proper steps of attempted remedies must be sought.
所以我们还是要尽量设法来补救这样的双方的矛盾。
You'll notice for the confession in Scripture, the goal is to stay married, not to find excuses to end
marriage.
And that will often come with much hardship.
但是婚姻维持下去呢，是不容易的。
The Bible and the confession do not promise us marriages that are free from sorrow or from difficulty.
所以圣经也没有这样给我们这样直接的安慰，告白也没有直接告诉我们，你结婚以后就永远是快快乐乐、高高兴兴，不会有矛盾，不会有痛苦。And
while God is very kind and many of us have happy relationships,
神很恩待，很慈爱，所以我们中间很多都已经结婚的，有非常幸福的家庭。God
does call some of His saints to suffer in the midst of difficult relationships.
然后神也同样让一部分圣徒在他们婚姻中很受苦。And
we must hold His wisdom above what we feel is our need for immediate personal happiness.
所以我们一定要把神的智慧放在首要的地位，而不是自己要寻找自己有一个解脱或者出路。You
will notice that if a divorce is pursued according to the confession,
假如一对夫妻根据这个告白的论述要寻求离婚的话。
And this is probably one of the most important things that the confession addresses, and so please hear this. It lists that it is to be done publicly, orderly, and not left to the person's own will and discretion.
所以他说要这个离婚的这个程序要公开的，而不是私下的。
The confession is trying to put up safeguards against ourselves.
所以这里是在保护我们每个人，不让自己来做所有的决定。
That we are not the best judges of our own situation according to confession.
所以根据这个告白，我们自己不是我们自己最好的审判官。Instead,
elders of the church and council are to be brought in to help judge the matter so that we are not left to our own will.
教会的传道人，教会的区会。 这些教会的管理机构帮助我们，比我们自己帮助更好。And
this keeps us safe from just following the dictates of our own wishes, and therefore putting ourselves under the wise judgment of others.
所以这事实上是在保护我们，因为神让告白让集体的更。
You'll notice desertion, in one sense, is a divorce already, according to Paul.
所以根据保罗来说，离弃或者背约本身，已经就相当于离婚了。
he's basically saying you're only making official what has already been done in fact.
所以说这样的离婚，因为背约，因为离弃所允许的离婚，因为背约离弃这个事已经发生，这件事本身已经是离婚的实际效果了。所以我们只是教会，只是让它成为正式的。
If it is not good for man to be alone, and then one party decides they're not going to be around anymore, but not issue a divorce, it is only a marriage in name.
在这样的情况下，婚姻不过只是一个空有徒有其名而已，因为已经不是双方了。
Now notice, if this happens in a Christian household, there are many steps that must be pursued prior to a divorce being issued.
当这样的事情发生的时候，在基督徒家庭发生的时候，还是需要有很多，在正式离婚之前，还是要做很多事情的。
The person who has departed is to be pursued by both the spouse and the elders to repent.
离弃的主动离弃的那一方，对方配偶那一方和教会的长老们，还是应该去重新寻找他。
And it is only after the process of church discipline has taken place that this should be granted.
教会批准他们离婚，一定要在教会纪律行使了纪律之后。
So not only will we see that a party will be a deserter, they will be pronounced an unbeliever because of their unwillingness to repent of their sin of renting asunder what God has put together.
当教会正式宣布他们离婚的时候，教会已经宣布了他们是不信的，因为他们把绳索和说绳索合在一起的，他们故意拆开了。
The reason we do this, of course, is both for the honor of Christ and to return the offender from their ways.
所以教会这么做，一个是为了荣耀耶稣基督的名，另外一个也是希望把犯罪的那一方挽救回来。
But one cannot profess that they hold to the true faith and then say,But I'm going to renounce the vow I have taken in marriage and not respond to the vow I have taken in the church to honor my elders.
所以说，一个基督徒不能一方面说我已经起誓了，我是信神的，另外一方面又把他自己所起的婚事给撕毁。
It shouldn't shock us that Christians get themselves into this sort of trouble.But the real issue is, are they willing to repent once they've gotten there?
基督徒犯这样的罪，也不是太惊异，也不是太令人惊讶的事。但问题是，他们是不是愿意悔改？
If pursued by the church and the authorities and their spouse, and they refuse and refuse and refuse to repent, they have, by their actions, testified that their profession of faith.Cannot at this point be trusted.
假如教会和配偶的另一方不断的试图努力寻找他们，让他们回来，他们一再而再的拒绝，那么他们的拒绝回到婚姻中来，也就是拒绝了他们自己曾经的信仰。
That does not mean that they couldn't repent and be restored to the church.
当然他们。还是如果他们悔改了以后他们悔改了还是可以回到教会来。
But Paul does make plain that if someone sues out a divorce that is not according to these two grounds,
假如他们保罗的那个书信里面也明确，假如他有人离婚，不是在这样的条件下面
，and they are found within the church,
而且是在教会里的人。
That they have two options before them only.
这样的基督徒只有两个选择。
To either pursue remarriage to their original spouse if they have the other spouse hasn't gotten married again.
或者回到原来的婚姻当中，和原来的配偶重新结婚。那当然前提是那个婚姻的另外的一半还没有重新结婚。
Or to remain in a state of singleness.
要不然他们就一直只能单身下去。
they are not to pursue another marriage after unlawfully pursuing a first, suing out the divorce of the first.
所以有人如果不合法地提出离婚，离婚之后他是不允许再结婚。
I am not sure, of all the problems you face in China, but in the American church, this is a very difficult, issue that we face.
我不知道中国教会的情况，在美国教会里，这是一个非常非常严重的问题。
Many times because we are not present when these actions take place in the past, and then we receive families that are already in defiance of many of these principles.
而且常常这种事情等教会知道的时候都早就已经发生了，问题已经在那边很严重了，我们才知道。
They were not involved in churches that believed in discipline of any sort or cared about these things.
特别是像在我们这样改革中教会，因为他们原来所在的教会根本不在乎这些事情，所以就更难了。
So oftentimes they'll be remarried already.
有时候他们来到我们教会的时候，早就已经再婚了。
And in those situations, we have to leave what is in place, and move from that point forward, unless the marriage they're involved in,
像这样的夫妇，像这样的家庭来到我们教会的时候，我们也没有办法，只好从现在开始，但是他们的婚姻又不能重新给他们扯散，只好从现在开始往前走，帮助他们。
But we move forward on these particular principles.
但是我们往前走，还是依据的还是这同样的原则。
Which of course brings with it all sorts of other problems.
当然，一大堆的问题还是会跟着来。
You know, Joe got a bad divorce, and he was remarried, and now he's a member of the church.
比方说，张三已经离婚了，但是又结婚了，来到我们教会。
Why won't you let me get remarried?
另外一个会说，哎，他不是怎么又重新结婚？我说我为什么不可以？
But of course.Those sorts of responses, betray an attitude of the heart that we need to pastorally deal with.
像这样的情况，我们传道人就必须面对，一定要帮助解决。
If someone has genuinely repented,
如果有人真诚的悔改，
they will while not easy, they will joyfully abide with the consequences of the mess they have made.
所以他们悔改之后，他们还是要面对自己所酿下的苦杯，但是他们还可以仍然有喜乐往前走下去。
So for instance, if a man commits adultery on his wife,
假如一个男的行了奸淫
，and he repents of that adultery, and she receives him back.
他悔改了，他妻子接纳他。
And then he comes to the elders, complaining that she's always worried when he's gone. Yet she asks him so many questions.
然后后来他就跑来跟我们长老总是抱怨。
Well, why is it?
你们不知道，从那以后，他老是怀疑我，我上哪去都不行。
If truly repentant, he will understand that this is part of what he has caused, and joyfully abide with the weakness in his wife.
对这个丈夫来说，假如他真的悔改的话，他应该能够理解体会妻子的心情和感情，他应该很忠实的更爱妻子。
He will go out of his way to make her feel safe and not make her feel wrong for asking so much.
他不是应该责怪他，而是应该让他更感到安全。
And in the same manner on these other issues.
另外一般的离婚现在也是一样。
You will notice in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul envisions kind of the messiness of life when he does give us a category of persons who are divorced, but not with proper grounds.
哥林多前书第七章里面保罗论到这个婚宴的时候，的确是有这样的情况，的确是已经有这样的情况，不合法的离婚。
He gives us this clause about they are not to remarry.
所以他说他们这样的人不可再婚。
Without explaining the whole backstory, how did we get people in the church that are divorced that didn't get divorced by these two rules?
但没有向我们解释为什么这些人已经在教会里了，但却没有遵照这两个原则而去离婚。
Instead, he just says.This is the fact, but now that this is the fact that we cannot change, we can at least control what happens from this point forward.
也就是说，已经发生的事情已经过去了，所以我们是没有办法控制已经发生的事情。但是从现在起往前，我们还是要按照原则行。
It just points to the fact that the ministry is messy. It never comes to us as neat and clean as we would like it to.
一句话，我们做传道的不会的，从来不会很轻轻松松的，总是有很多很麻烦的事情。
And that is why God gives us elders and He gives us wisdom.
所以说，神召我们，按我们做长老的，他会赐给我们智慧。
And sometimes that's the best we can do. He doesn't lay out a blueprint for everything that will happen in the church.
但是常常我们还是很难的。因为神没有给我们每一个人每一个教会立下了每一条详细的。
That is all for that chapter.
这一章我们就到这儿了。
Let's go to chapter 23, only because that's what we still have.
No, but we have the only thing that we have to go to 23 章吧. We want to wait until 25 章还没到.
I am hoping and was hoping that we can get through the church, sacraments, and censures section. Hopefully we can. We will just go quickly when that time comes.
We will try to make time.教会圣餐我们竟然抓紧时间
了。 All right, as we come to chapter 23, I need to give a pretty big caveat here.
在开始这个23章之前，我先来画龙点睛一下。
The American version of the Westminster Confession of Faith differs from the version that you have.
美国改革中教会的告白和我们手上的肯定也不一样。
And this is one of the biggest differences is this chapter.
这一章就是可能最大的差别。
And so my intention is not to teach against the confession that you have in your hands.
我不想我在这里讲的不像和这儿原来的那个告白内容
We will teach mainly on the sections that are in agreement, and then we'll have just a brief note of where they disagree.
所以我们就一起来讨论，我们都大家都同意的那一部分。假如有不同意的地方，我们稍微提一下就算了。
It's probably fairly obvious that the American situation, in one sense, called for this revision for them to be able to confess it with a clear conscience.
当年美国改革宗教会修改这一章的时候，是为了当时信徒们良心自由的关系。
And in one sense, maybe that does even help us explain how church government and confessions work.
其实从一个方面说，这也帮助我们理解教会和政治之间的关系该怎么处理。
Communities confess faith.
一个教会或者一群人在一起，有一个共同的信仰。
And we bind ourselves as communities to these confessions.
所以我们有一个信仰告白，可以约束我们，可以让我们联合在一起。
But we need to be able to confess them honestly. It does no good to hold a confession that everyone disagrees with on certain points and pretend it's okay.
所以说要有一份信仰告白的话，那么这份信仰告白就一定不能是单单字面上的，一定要大家从心里都同意。
Honest confession is what keeps the church from becoming hypocritical.
诚实的信仰告白，教会从心里面发出赞同的这样的告白，才能够使得教会合一的往前走。
So for instance, when a man comes for ordination in our denomination, we ask him if there are any places where he differs from the confession of faith.
所以说有人如果到我们长老会系统来要求案例的话，要求背案例的话，我们第一个问题会问他的，你对我们的信仰告白是不是每一条都同意？
And he says, no, there's not one place I disagree at all.
如果他说他我一条都不反对，
I usually ask him if he's read the whole thing.
我一般的人就会直接问他，你每一条都读过了吗？
The reason I say that is that we want to take our confession seriously. It is the community that decides if a man has a place of disagreement, whether that disagreement is serious or not.
为什么我们把这个信仰告白看得很重呢？因为这个对我们整个教会的合一很重要。所以一个人如果加入了教会的事工来，那么他一定要清清楚楚地知道我们这个整个教会所相信的所同意的是一个什么样的原则。
If we don't do that, we'll have everyone saying yes, they agree with the confession, and then going to their church and teaching contrary to it, and everyone just abides in this hypocrisy.
假如相反，有人来的都可以，只要说我同意就行，结果我们就成了一个假冒伪善的这种状态。
And there are some exceptions to the confession that cannot be tolerated.
但是告白里面也的确有些地方。是叫人不能够忍受，或者不能够没法接受。
So if a man says he disagrees with chapter 2 on the Holy Trinity, the confession.
如果一个人说他对第二章三位一体的教义同意。
That will be the end of his ordination exam.
但是他不同意，这完全搞反对。假如第一个人说你们这个信仰告白我都同意，除了第二章的那个三位一体教义之外，那他就完了，结束了，我不需要再面试了。
If he says I disagree with the confession that the new covenant normally goes by the name testament in scripture，
但假如他说我对告白里面那一条那种说法不同意，说新约它就是用两个不同的字，它用这个字，你们告白里面写的另外一个字都是说的新约这个称呼，那就没有什么问题。
Of course, that is a disagreement of a far different nature.
当然，这是完全两种不同意见。
All right. Anyway, I don't know how I got on that side track.
我不知道我跑到哪里去了。
All right. This chapter clearly deals with the relationship between God, the church, and the civil authorities.
所以这一章里面很明显是关于神、政府和教会之间的关系。
And the first premise is that God is the supreme Lord and King of all the world.
所以一个大前提就是神是万王之王。
And therefore the great authority over all authorities.
是所有权威之上的权威，权柄之上的权柄。
Both in home and in the church and in the state.
家庭、教会、政府都一样。
And while the confession does not list for us what it believes is the ideal sort of government, it does help us know that God has ordained government to bring stability to the world.
这告白没有建议哪一种形式的政府是最理想的政府，但是告白确实承认所有的政权都是神立。
Now, while the Bible does not give us the confession does not tell us what an ideal government is, it tells us enough to know that there are certain governments that are out of accord with God's word.
宝贝也还是告诉我们哪一种形式哪些形式的政府是完全不符合神的话。
And it reminds us that every government and governor will ultimately give an account to God as a minister of God in that realm.
所以这也提醒我们不管是哪一个国家哪一个政府里面的哪一个官员在神面前都是要交账的。
We see that with all authorities, one of the keys is that the government does not go beyond its proper station.
在这个告别里遇到政府的时候很重要的一点就是政府不可超越它的范围。
The government is not to take leadership away from the heads of households.
政府不可以把一个家庭的家长的权力夺去。
By ruling over his family in way by ruling over a man's family in ways that are beyond the government's jurisdiction.
就是家里的事情都由政府来管，这个这不可以。
They are not to take the keys of the kingdom from the church.
政府也同样不能把天国的钥匙从教会夺去。
To do either is a defiance of their mandate.
如果政府违反了这两条，他就违反了他自己本身神所立的给他的政权和权柄。
Their calling, according to the scripture, is that they are ministers of God for justice and have been given the power of the sword to that end.
所以他们的位置，神给他们的位置是佩剑，赏善罚恶。
And therefore they do have a rightful authority that if disobeyed is the disobedience not just to the government but to God himself.
所以他们如果不顺从那么就说错了有人如果不顺服政府那么他们就不单是不顺服政府也是不顺服神。
And what is probably most difficult for us to fully comprehend is that even ungodly governments are to be submitted to.
对于我们来说，比较难的就是完全不信神的政府，完全与神作对的政府，我们也要向他顺服。这是对基督徒来说很难的事情。
Now, as we'll see, there are limits to that submission, but the principle needs to be confessed first.
当然，这里面像这样的政府顺服还是有限度的，但首先我们是要承认，我们基督徒应该像。
This is one of those teachings that's very easy to say or to read, a whole different thing to live in.
像这样的事情，写容易，说容易，做起来是很不容易。
But Paul wrote Romans 13 through 15.
保罗在罗马书十三章到十五章里面
，under the same Roman government that crucified the Messiah，
所论到那个罗马帝国政府，就是把主耶稣基督钉十字架同一个政府。
He is not writing theories based on fairy tale, but he's writing about submission while under a godless Roman state。
也就是说，他写保罗写。这一段的时候不是一个假想是一个真实的面对这样的一个对基督教残酷迫害的政府
We learn very clearly from scripture that the one exception to our submission to government is not taxation
里面告白里面很明显 告诉我们可以 不顺服政府的条件不是不交税
You'd be surprised by how many Americans feel that they should honor the government until the government starts touching their income.
你们可能不太了解，有多少美国基督徒都愿意顺服政府，但是一碰到交税的事情，他们就根本就碰到他们的口袋。
But Paul makes plain that we are to pay taxes to whom taxes are due.
在保罗明确规定，我们应该向当纳税的就向当纳税。
And Jesus told us whose image was on the coin and who it belonged to.
马上就可以想到耶稣说的那个钱币的两个。
The exception, of course, is when they ask us to defy God.
在顺服的这些条件下，唯一的例外是当政府要求我们亵渎神的时候。
And we need to hear this in the right way, because this is not rebellion. We don't rebel against authority.
我们当我们谈到这一点的时候，我们不能认为这就是让我们反抗政府。
We defy the government in this way because we honor authority.
我们所以在这种事情上面反抗政府，是因为我们要荣耀神，顺服神。
Because we honor the authority of God and in humility want to serve Him, that is when we say no.
所以我们对政府说不的时候，是因为我们要荣耀神，我们为了顺服神。
But our attitude must be one of genuine honor and humility, not one of angry rebellion.
但是我们的态度还是要很注意，要很谦卑的，很坚定的，但绝不是义愤填膺的。
Now, during the time of the Reformation, the question of government and Christians' place in government and in the overthrow of tyranny was a very real issue.
因为在写告白的当时，在宗教改革的时候，基督徒教会所面临的和政府之间关系上的问题很现实的。有的基督徒是在政府里面，做官员的，有的教会和政府之间的很复杂的关系，政府又有那种独裁的那个君王在那里。
And even in the issue of revolt, the reformers believed in submission to authority.
哪怕只是在反抗暴君的时候，改教家们还是要求大家顺服政府。
That if there is a tyrannical leader, you go to the next most powerful leader who has given God-given authority and pursue them for revolt.
所以他们的基本上的概念就是，如果有一个暴君，你政府里面有个暴君，那么你就应该跟随比他稍微好一点的那一位。你要造反的话，也要听从那一位。
And in this way, they were trying to guard themselves from the danger of our humanity wanting to rebel and dishonor authority in general.
他们这样做主要是要为了防止我们人性里面原来就有的那种造反精神。
The governments are given by God as servants to the people for their good, and we need to see them in that way.
因为政府的确是神设立的，为的是人民的好处。
Paul teaches us that we're to give thanks for all men, kings, and all those in authority.
保罗教导我们说，我们要为万人祷告感恩，包括君王。
You may find this laughable, and it is somewhat laughable.
对你们来说，这点可能更难。
But there were actually people who withheld from communion in our own congregation when I gave thanks the day after President Obama was re-elected.
在我们自己的教会里，奥巴马总统被选上的那一天，我奉领圣餐的时候，有会员拒绝领圣餐。
Now, all I did was quote a Bible verse.
因为我只不过就是，读了圣经的话语，就是为当权的祷告，为真正掌权的祷告。
But that American spirit is hard to kill.
因为在很多美国人的心里，所谓美国精神很难压制下去，因为奥巴马总统走自由的路线搞，同意婚，一大堆的，你们在这儿肯定听到过。
That is the sort of attitude we need to remove ourselves from.
但是这种态度我们不应该。
That the government is responsible to do good unto those who keep the law.
对遵纪守法的人来说，政府还是会向他们，还是会对他们好的。
They are responsible to preserve the rights that God has given us in creation.
政府有责任保护神创造为我们所赐给我们的东西。
The right to life.
我们生活的权利。
Something both the American government and your present government probably needs to look back at.
这件事情，不管是美国政府还是你们现在的政府，都应该好好的反思。
The right to work.
我们工作的权利。
The right to property, marriage, and family.
个人财产、婚姻这些的权利。
And liberty of conscience before God.
在上帝面前，清洁良心的这个权利。
God has given them the sword to ensure that others do not take these rights from us.
神之所以给这些执政掌权的这样的权利，就是要为了保证，不会有人把我们这些权利都给剥夺掉。
If someone asks for your coat, as a Christian, we have the right. If someone requires of you something in your personal life, as Christians, we should offer them all the more.
假如有人问你要你属于你自己的东西，我们可以给他，而且可以给他更多。
The government has a responsibility to step in and make sure that that is not demanded of us.
但是政府这时候就出来，应该出来干涉。说这不能作为要求。
So notice my private life as a Christian and my willingness to be generous, and even to be wrong, is not something the government itself has. It's not something the government has the right to. That principle they can't live by.
就是说，我们个人的东西，属于我们自己的东西，应该由我们自己做决定。政府不应该出来硬性规定。
So you'll notice because they are a creation authority, they should not govern by the laws of grace.
所以换句话说，因为政府的设立就是为了要管理这个社会，所以他们不能以恩典来管理。
If someone comes and steals your moped,
假如谁跑来把你的手机给偷了。
It is wrong for a civil governor to say, oh, you know, it's all right, be generous, you should give that to him.
政府不能说，哎，你就算了，慷慨一点吧，让他拿走算了。
They are demanded to live in accordance with justice.
政府一定要实行公义公正。
They are to enforce that justice by means of the sword or corporally, bodily.
政府执行这样的公正是要用武力的。
Whereas the church governs by the declaration of the mouth.
教会的管理，教会的管理人是用是通过口头上。
Governments rule by force.
和政府正好相反，政府是用刀剑。
They also do have the right to protect the borders of their people.
政府也有权利保护他们这个国家的边境。
The confession makes plain that it's not wrong for a Christian to serve in government.
所以告白说，基督教参政没有不是错。
This really is an attack against the Anabaptist belief that governments are something Christians should not be a part of, and that war should never be participated in by a Christian.
因为当时的重禧派的人坚决反对任何基督徒参与政府或者参军当兵参军。
And yet, a Christian is warned concerning two major things: one, that they should not serve in government if their Christian life must be compromised in order to do so.
但这里还是给基督徒一个警告，如果你去参加那个军队或者政府坚决反对基督教的，那你不应该去加入。
And secondly, in their role as a governor, they cannot let their Christian principles of grace govern the people.
但是另外一方面，还有一个原则，就是作为政府官员的基督徒，不能以他们的慈爱或者恩典来管理政府。
It's not right for them to tell the people being invaded, "We're going to turn the other cheek."
不能说，被盗被抢的人，你把你的左脸也转过去。
He can do so personally and privately, but not as he's fulfilling that ministry as an elected official.
他自己可以这样做，作为私人，作为个人，但是他作为政府官员，他绝不能这样做。
You'll notice it's the third section where in which the confessions differ probably the most.
第三部分就是他一开始说的，美国改革中长老会和原来这个告别之间的差别或者修改。
But the areas of agreement are pretty clear. The civil magistrate is forbidden to interfere in the administration of word and sacrament.
改变说政治绝不允许干涉，教会的讲道和圣餐。
The king, if he's a member of the church, still doesn't have the right, if he is not an elder, to demand who and who cannot partake of the Lord's table, for instance.
哪怕是君王也不准，规定谁能够参与圣餐，谁不准参与圣餐。
That is beyond his realm of authority.
因为他这不是他的权力范围之内。
You will notice in your version of the confession that the king does have the duty to keep religion pure from defilement and blasphemies and heresy.
因为在原来的告白里面说，政府官员君王可以应该让教会。保持纯洁。
It's probably not around the corner, time-wise, for the Chinese government to be doing that on your behalf.
眼下的中国政府可能离这个还远去了。
But you'll notice that the very assembly in which this confession was written was called by the government.
我们一定还记得开始有过介绍，或者你们以前也读过介绍，写这本宣。信仰告白的时候是政府发起的。
I think that's where I'm going to stop on that. We're going to take a short break, and then potentially the other notes will be here. We can go forward.
等几分钟，可能那个要来了。
休息一下。
好。